Now, Kinelach, once a long time ago, there was a very poor man, and his name was Yossel. Yossel tried to make a living for his family, but it was always so difficult for him. He tried to get money by selling things. He took a box, and he bought pencils and buttons and little tzatzkalach, and different kinds of things like sewing needles and thread, little things that didn't cost too much money. And he went around the different towns and villages, and he sold it different places to get a few pennies here and a few pennies there. And he would come home at night, and he usually had only enough money maybe for a potato, maybe for some bread, maybe for an onion. And if they were very lucky for Shabbos, he and his family would have a little bit of fishy and maybe sometimes a little bit of chicken. But the Kinelach didn't have enough clothes, and his wife didn't have the things that she needed, and they really, really just did not have enough money. Even though Yossel tried and he worked and he went around every day to sell his things, except of course Shabbos and Yom Tov, he didn't do it. The Kinelach, one day, Yossel decided, just going around the regular places and the towns and the villages and selling my things, I'm not making enough money. Let me try something else. I'll go away to a faraway place, a different city, the other side of the mountain maybe. I'll go away for a few days, maybe for a few weeks, and I'll try to sell things over there. And he told his wife that he's going away on a longer trip, and he hopes to come back with more money. Of course, she didn't want to see him go for that long, and the Kinelach didn't want to see Tati go away for that long, but he said, I have to get more money for the family, so what'll I do? So I'm going to go away. He packed up his things, and his pencils, and the buttons, and the sewing needles, and the thread, and the little tzatzkalach in his box. And he gave a cushy to the Kinelach goodbye, and he said goodbye to his wife, and he goes out of the house. And as Yossel's going down the road, all of a sudden, the mail wagon is also going on the road. In those days, there were not mail trucks, there were mail wagons. The mail is in the wagon, and it comes to the town, and it goes to the post office, and the postal workers, the men who work in the post office, they take care of the mail of that town. But now is coming a wagon, and it's probably coming from a faraway place down the road, and it's coming to Yossel's little town with the mail. And as it's going on the bumpy road, all of a sudden it hits a bump, and out fall from the wagon two letters. And they fall down behind the wagon. And the wagon driver did not see it, but Yossel saw it. And Yossel goes over to pick up the two letters. And of course, he's about to call to the driver to get his two letters, but first he picks them up. And one of them is a fat letter, a big letter, very fat. And the other one is skinny. And he looks on the fat letter. Looks. This letter was very heavy, and it was very big, and the letter was almost like a bag. And as Yossel squeezed it, he felt, something's very important inside, it feels like. And on the outside of this letter was written the name of a very important millionaire poritz who lived in a big, big castle. And it said on the outside of the letter that in this letter, this special delivery letter, are 30,000 golden dollars. What did Yossel do? I'll tell you what Yossel did. The big letter with the $30,000, he put in his coat pocket. He had a big coat. There was a big pocket inside. And the big, heavy letter he put inside of his coat pocket. Now, Kinalach, should he have done that? Is this his money? No, he shouldn't have done that. Of course, we're going to see what happens in this story. This is a story. But right in the beginning, we should know that if something is not yours, and you find it, you have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda to give it back. That's number one. Number two, taking something that doesn't belong to you is stealing. Now, this was something that Yossel could find who the owner was. He can give it back to the post office. He can give it back to the mail wagon. But the little voice came in his head. We know that in our head, there are little voices. And Bechlal, there are two little voices. One voice, like it came into Yossel's head, it told him, Yossel, pick up the money and take it for yourself. And the other voice said, Yossel, this is not your money, give it back. Now what are these two voices? The Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. Unfortunately, for whatever reason exactly, as we'll see in the story, but Yossel listened to the Yetzer Hara and he put it in his pocket. Not that you should do this, Chas v'Shalom. But this is what Yossel did and this is what's in the story. Now we go on. The other letter, the skinny letter, the regular one, Yossel held in his hand. And all of a sudden he called out to the mail wagon, hello, Mr. Driver of the mail wagon, stop, you lost the letter. And the mail wagon stopped, and the driver ran out of the wagon, and he went over to Yossel. What happened? And Yossel says, look, you dropped this letter, I found it on the ground. It's yours from the wagon, it fell out. And the driver said, thank you very much, thank you for giving me this letter. Is that all that fell down? Only this? Yossel said, this is all I found on the ground here. This is what I picked up. I picked up this letter from the ground. Here's the letter. I saw it on the ground. It fell out of the wagon, and I'm giving it back to you. This is what I found on the ground here. And he gave it back to the mail driver. The mail driver went back in the wagon, and the wagon went to the post office. Yossel turned around, and instead of going down the long road to the faraway place that he's going to go away for a few weeks, instead he turns around and he comes home. And now Yossel comes home, and he comes into his house, and all of a sudden his wife sees Yossel coming home. Yossel, you're home? What's going on? You're not supposed to be back for a few weeks. Is everything okay? Well, I decided I'm not going to go. I'm going to just stay home now. But Yossel, what about the money we need? What about the shoes the Kinalach need and the food we need and we need clothes, we need things? What's going to be now? Yossel says, don't worry. We are going to have plenty of money. And I don't have to go out, not to the faraway city, and not even to the town, and not even to the village, and not even outside. All we have to do is take our money and go shopping and buy whatever we need. And his wife says, Yossel, do you feel okay? Are you dreaming or something? We never have enough money. How can you stay home and all we have to do is take money and go shopping? We first have to have the money before we go shopping. Yossel says, all we have to do is now go to our bag, take out our money, and go shopping. And Yossel's wife says, Yossel, what do you mean a bag? We have a little bottle, and it's on the shelf, and I try to go there and find a few pennies, and if it's empty, I can't go shopping, and if there's a few pennies, I can go shopping, and maybe I can buy an onion, and maybe I can buy some bread. That's all we have is the little bottle, and sometimes there's a little money in it. What are you talking about, a bag? And go to get money. What are you saying? And Yossel takes out of his pocket the big letter and he shows his wife the letter and she sees inside, oh, what's all that money in there? Where'd you get that? What is this? Yossel says, 30,000 golden dollars. This is 30,000 golden dollars. And this is our money that we could use to go shopping. But wait a minute. This is a letter addressed to a poritz in a castle. Wait a minute. He told her what happened, how it fell out of the wagon of the mailman. And she said, look, wait a minute, this is not our money. This is not our money, this does not belong to us. But she sees that her husband wants to keep it. She says, look, I don't know why you want to keep this money, it does not belong to us. He also says, look, first of all, it belongs to a goy, not a yid. Second of all, when they find out that it's missing, who are they going to blame? They're going to blame the postman. They're going to blame the mailman that somehow he lost the letter. And then the post office is going to have to pay the money. And who is the head of all the post offices? The government, the king. The king has plenty of money, so he's going to have to pay for it. Nobody knew that I took the money. So, nobody will ever know the difference. We'll have the money for ourselves. And the poritz will work it out with the king, and the king will have to pay the poritz the money, because the poritz will say to the king, look, one of your postmen, one of your mailmen, who drives one of your wagons, he lost my money, so where is it? So the king's going to have to pay. And the woman said, I don't know any chochmes, and I don't know any tirutzim, and I don't know any of this. All I know is that it's not our money, and we should not keep it. And she tried to explain to her husband, she doesn't want this money. What's going to happen when the kids wake up and they find out that the parents have so much money and they're going to ask where they got it? And the kids are smart. They're going to see that we got money that's not ours. We can't show that to our kids, and we can't do that in front of Hashem. But for some reason, her husband was not listening, and he was not hearing what she was saying, and she didn't want to keep the money. Then she got an idea. She said, look, the mailman does know you found one letter. So the mailman is going to be smart. He'll think, look, if you found one letter, maybe you found the other letter. Because after all, they're going to find out that the letter with the money is missing. So where is the first place they're going to come looking for the money? They're going to come right here to our house. When they come here to our house, they're going to start asking you questions. And if they find out that there's anything over here fishy, you could end up in jail and get in big trouble. So why don't we just give back the money? And now her husband started getting a little bit nervous that somebody should ask him questions and maybe he'll get in jail. But he still did not give back the money. He says, I'm going to hide the money in the house. I'm going to make a hiding place. Over in the corner, there was a big closet, like a big box that was like a, you know, not a built-in closet, a closet that you could pull around like a big piece of furniture. He went over there to that big, big, heavy closet. He schlepped it out of the corner. And there was a wooden floor. He lifted up one of the boards of the wooden floor, and he put the money under the board. He put back the board, so it just looked like, you know, the regular floor. And he put the big heavy closet on top of the board, and that's where he hid the money. And that's all he did. Finished. A few days later, or maybe it was the next day, there came a knock on the door, and Yossel's wife went to the door, she opens it up, and all of a sudden she sees a policeman and a big officer. Who are you? Well, I'm a policeman, and this is the officer of the mail. He is the chief officer of the mail of the king's post offices. And we've come here to ask your husband a few questions. Because after all, he found the letter, which was very nice, but there's still a letter missing, a very important letter. Well, Yossel was sitting there. They came in, and they start asking Yossel questions. Did you find a letter? Did you find a fat letter? After all, you found the skinny letter. Did you find a fat letter? It's very important that we have it back. Over there in the letter was 30,000 golden dollars. And if you found that letter, and if you took that letter, then you are going to be put in jail for stealing. Well, Kindalach, Yassel said no to all their questions. No, I didn't see it. No, I didn't find it. No, I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And he kept saying, no, 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 no. And the whole time, the policeman and the officer of the mail were getting nowhere with all of his no's because he kept saying no. And the policeman started getting nervous. I have a feeling that this man did take the money. And the officer of the mail says, well, I don't know. He did return one of the letters, but the other letter is missing. Maybe because he returned one of the letters, so it means that he's an honest man. And therefore, the other letter is just missing because, after all, he did return one of them. Now, the policeman started getting upset. And he said to the officer of the mail, he said, look, how come you're speaking good for this man saying that he didn't find it? Maybe he found it, and maybe you also know about it. Maybe you and this man are making a deal to get the money together. Because if the post office pays the money, you're not going to lose anything if the post office pays the money. So maybe you and this man, now see, the policeman is trying to find now something also on the officer of the mail. Maybe there's something fishy with the officer of the mail. He says, maybe you and this man are going to split the money. You're making a deal. And the king anyway is going to pay the money to the poet, so you're going to get away with the money. Well, the officer of the mail didn't like this too much at all, and he started getting very upset. He says, well, maybe we should just throw him in jail just in case he did take the money. Because I didn't do anything and I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want you to get me in trouble with the police. And so they took Yassel, they put on him the handcuffs, and they take him now to jail. Yassel's in jail. And as he's going down the street with the officer and the police officer in the handcuffs, the neighbors are looking out the window. Look, look, Nabuch Yassel, he's going to jail. Look, he's being arrested. And everybody came out, oy vey, Nabuch Yassel's going to jail, oy Nabuch Yassel's going to jail. And they thought, of course, that he's being put into jail for nothing, that he didn't do anything. And they ran over to Yassel's house, to his wife, oy Nabuch, your husband's going to jail, who will take care of you and your Kindalach? Well, she was embarrassed to say anything. She didn't want to tell them anything. And all the neighbors came and cried, and they felt sorry for her. And she felt very bad that her husband had done this. And she wanted some way to get Yassel out. But if she just goes and gives back the money and says he did it, he's going to be really in trouble. They'll see he stole it. If she keeps the money, he's in jail. She wants her husband out of the jail more than she wants the money. What's she going to do? And the neighbors came and cried, and they brought her food, and they said, Oy Nebuch, you have nobody to take care of you. And she got just very, very sad about the whole thing. And she starts to think, what should I do? After a while, she got an idea. What should I do? I'm going to take the money to give to the Rav. There was a Rav of the city, of the town. His name was Reb Baruch, a great tzaddik. And she said, the Rav will somehow figure out what to do. I can't figure out what to do. My husband couldn't figure out what to do. The Rav, he'll figure out what to do. And so, Kindalach, she took away the closet. She went under the board. She got the money. And she went out of her house with the money, with the 30,000 golden dollars in her pocket. She walked over to the Rav's house. She wanted to go in and give it to the Rav and tell him what happened. But as she came close to the Rav's house, she looked inside and she saw the Rav is learning with his Talmidim. He's giving a shiur in his house. She would be embarrassed to go in front of the Talmidim and explain that everybody should see what happened. She didn't want to take the money back home. She doesn't want the money in her house anymore. She decided she's going to go and throw it in the window. And she's not even going to show her face, who it is. And the Rav will find it in his house. And that way she'll give it to the Rav. Hopefully the Rav will find what to do with that money and help her husband. She walks into the yard of the Rav. She goes under the window. The Rav did not see anything because he's busy learning with his Talmidim. She threw it into the open window and she ran away. Now, as the Rav was teaching his Talmidim, he happened to look up for a minute and he saw something flying through the window and something landed on the floor. He understood something is going on over here. Such a thing doesn't just happen by accident. And he got up, he walked over, and he saw this envelope with it's written on there, 30,000 golden dollars. And of course he had known that a Jew was put in jail, and everybody said he was put in jail because he was said to have taken $30,000, and nobody thought that he really done it, so they thought it was really only a plot against him. But they knew that 30,000 golden dollars was missing. All of a sudden, the money is on the Rav's floor. The Rav sees that something serious is going on. He said to his Talmidim, the shir is over, everyone should go home. And now the Rav is alone in his house, thinking, what should I do with this money? He says, if I just go and take the money and I give it to the post office, they'll think, what's the Rav doing with the money? They'll say, a Jew took the money. Maybe they're not going to say the Rav took the money. Somehow the Rav got the money. But they're going to say, if the Rav brought the money, it means a Jew took the money. And it chas v'shalom make a chilul Hashem. People will say, a Jew took the money. So he can't just go himself to the post office and give the money. If he keeps the money, then, chas v'shalom, maybe, who knows, maybe a goy threw the money in the Rav's house and he's making a trick on the Rav. Maybe he'll tell the police that the Rav took the money and the police will come to check the Rav's house and they're going to find the money in the Rav's house. So then they're going to make also trouble against the Yidden. Who knows who threw it into the Rav's house? He can't keep it in his house because maybe he'll get in trouble for having the money. He can't just get rid of the money because Yossel is still in jail. And Yossel will not get out until the money is returned. And so the Rav started to think and started to walk back and forth in his house thinking what he should do, back and forth. He did not come yet to a decision, and he decided he is going to go out for a walk. And as he goes for a walk, maybe he'll get some fresh air, he'll be able to figure out what to do. He picked up the money from the floor, and he put it into his pocket, and he took now the money out of the house. And he started to walk. All of a sudden he got an idea. Wait a minute, what am I doing? If somebody is trying to get me in trouble, and they'll tell the police about the $30,000 being in my house, then maybe the police will check me, they'll find on me the money, and I'll get in trouble. The best thing is to put it right back on the floor, exactly where it landed, and then if somebody comes to my house looking for it, I don't even have to say that I picked it up. I'll say, look, it's on the floor. Somebody threw it in my house. What do I have to do with it? Somebody threw it the window and it landed on the floor. That's exactly what happened. So the Rav went back. He put the money on the floor, back exactly where it landed. And now he went out for his walk, thinking what to do, hoping that Hashem will help to give him in his mind what to do. Hashem is in charge of the thoughts and of everything. And he started to ask Hashem to help him to figure out what to do. And the Rav is walking, and he's thinking about what to do. All of a sudden, there's a man going through the streets dressed up in a mailman uniform, and he looks like also one of the officers from the post office. And he says, "Hear ye, hear ye. From the post office, they want me to call out to everybody that there is a 500 golden dollar reward for whoever finds the money that's missing. A 500 golden dollar reward if you find the money and you give it to the post office. Whoever finds the money or helps to find the money will get a 500 golden dollar reward for finding the money." Well, the Rav heard that. That also didn't help too much, because even though he knows where the money is, he's not going to go to give it into the post office to get the $500 golden dollar reward, because also it's going to look bad that a Jew has it, and he might get the Yidden in trouble, or Chas v'Shalom, somebody might make a Chilul Hashem. And so the Rav keeps thinking what to do and what to do and what to do. And as he's going down the road, all of a sudden, there comes the other way, also walking on the road, was the galach from the church. There was in that town a church, and there was a galach from the church, and the galach was also out on a walk that day for whatever reason. The galach was walking, and the Rav sees the galach, and the galach sees the Rav. This particular galach always gave great kavod to the Rav. He never, chas v'shalom, made trouble for the Yidden or for the Rav. In fact, he saw the Rav. He knew the Rav was a great tzaddik and a great Talmud Chochem, and he always gave great kavod, respect to the Rav, and spoke highly of the Rav. And the Rav knew that this galach was not like many of the galachim troublemakers. He was okay. All of a sudden, the Rav got an idea. He got an idea in his head when he saw this galach. As he passes by the galach, each one says hello to each other. They know who each other were. Was each one who knew the other one who they were. And all of a sudden, the Rav goes over to the galach, and he says, "Let me ask you a question. I know that in your church, you have a little room over there, and there's a special chair. In fact, there's actually two chairs. One is for the galach, and one is for the person who wants to go in that room. And the person tells the galach different kinds of secrets, especially things that he did wrong that are bothering him. Let's say a person did something wrong, and it bothers him, and he doesn't know what to do. So he goes and sits down on one chair. The galach sits on another chair. And he tells the galach different things that he did wrong, that's bothering him, that are worrying him. And the galach tells him what to do about it, how to fix it up. One of the rules of that room is that the galach is not allowed to tell anybody in the world who was in that room or what they did. The person says to the galach what he wants, and it's a secret, and the galach doesn't tell anybody in the world who it was or what they did. This is one of the rules of that room." Now, the Rav asked the galach, "Is that even for the king? You don't have to tell the king even who was in that room or what he told you?" The galach said, "That's right. Whatever happens in that little room doesn't go past that room. Nobody finds out, only they tell me, and I don't tell anybody, I don't tell anyone at all." The Rav says, what about the police if they want to find out? No, the police can't find out. The king can't find out. Everyone respects what happens in that room. And then the Rav says to the Galach, and what about not in your church? Is there another place that sometimes a person goes to tell you what they did, or something kind of some kind of a secret? And the Galach says, well, in my house I also have a special chair that a person could sit on, and they could tell me also what they did. And the Rav asked the Galach, now, what about a person who does not belong to your church? In fact, he's not even from the religion that goes to your church. Is he allowed to tell you secrets if he wants? And you don't tell anybody those secrets? And the Galach said, if he wants to tell me those secrets, he could, and I won't tell anybody. And the Rav says, well, what about if they come to your house? Will you also